So let's settle in now and take a few moments and get ready now for our meditation and lesson. Welcome, Savannah.
Thank you, Cindy. So before I get to talking, we're just going to do a quick little meditation. Let's give our energy body a nice quick little shower. So let's close our eyes gently if you'd like. Let's take a deep breath together in through your nose, out through your mouth. One more. And with each exhale, becoming more present, slow your mind more and more. Now, if you'd like, I invite you to imagine with me a bucket hanging above your head. I like to imagine a wooden pail, and in this wooden pail contains liquid light, a silvery, iridescent, swirling liquid light. Now allow the bucket to tip just ever so slightly, and allow the light to drip onto the top of your crown chakra. Feel the cooling rejuvenation it brings, like a breeze on a summer's day. Now allow the bucket to pour a little bit more and more, and allow this iridescent liquid light to flow down the top of your head, down over your shoulders, covering your torso, down over your hips, your pelvis, your thighs, your calves, all the way to the tips of your toes. And allow this bucket to just pour, pour, pour. And as this light covers your body, it fills up all of the cracks, bringing light to all the dark places, pouring down your body, dripping off your toes, bringing all of the impurities, all of your attachments back to the earth. Now just sit and watch the bucket pour, showering your energetic body, cleansing your energetic body, like a breeze on a summer's day. Let's take a few deep breaths while we're cleansing. With each exhale, release more and more, allowing. Now, if you feel cleansed, if you feel properly showered, allow the bucket to return upright, but know that it's always there. Whenever you need a quick little energetic shower. Now, if you'd like, you can stay in this space. You can keep your eyes shut, or you can open them. I promised I'd keep it quick. I think Dana had a really nice prayer. So, really, the daily word embodies a lot of what I'm bringing to the table today, as well as all of the songs Terry picked out, as usual. So I can talk till the cows come home, but we're going to see what comes out of my mouth today, because I have a good idea. What kept coming to me when Cindy asked me to talk for you guys, or the board asked me to talk, what kept coming was breaking open. Those words kept coming to me, breaking open. The blessings of breaking, breaking down to break through. So the layers, in my mind, things come in layers to describe certain feelings and emotions that I have and that I feel in my own consciousness and the collective consciousness. So I'm just going to talk that through with you today, what I've been feeling, what I've been seeing, and the layers that comes to me. So a few points that have been coming is the symbology of the Tower tarot card, the word Timshel from the book East of Eden, Steinbeck's book, and lastly, the term chemicalization, which is a metaphysical term brought forth by Charles Fillmore. So we're going to start elaborating on the tarot card. I love using different tools to guide my intuition and my inner voice. Sometimes I use them, sometimes I don't, but I do find cards to be a good way to help me. The archetype of the Tower tarot card, so this typically represents is destruction, renovation, breaking down old beliefs and thought systems based on illusion, liberation from what holds you back. Numerologically, I also love numbers, the Tower card is a 16, which reduces to a 7. The 7 embodies the energy of knowing thyself. Who are you underneath all of your attachments, all of the perceptions that you've created? In unity, we know, or we like to talk about how we experience and perceive a lot of our realities through the perception, the perceptional lens that we've created based on our past experiences. So that's why meditation and cleansing is so very beneficial, is it can, you know, slowly remove that lens. So you're seeing truly the moment and truly who you are underneath all the rubble. And with the Tower card, that energy represents when maybe you've missed a few red flags to slow down. Maybe you've missed a few red flags where you are not feeling fully love, fully happy, because that's your inner guidance. If you're not feeling good, listen up, because if not, you're going to get shaken up. You'll get broken open. But, so, well, first I guess I'll give you a visual of the Tower card. So the Tower card in tarot. There's a tall tower with a lightning bolt striking the top of the tower. There's a crown falling off, representing your crown chakra. There are three windows on fire, representing creation. Now, it's not the entire tower that is burning, but there are people jumping from the top of the tower back to solid ground. And what this is signifying is the crumbling of illusion. So it doesn't tear down what was built to last. It doesn't tear down anything that was built on truth and love. But sometimes, I know nothing about this, we can be blinded by ambition and our desires. And like Cindy said in the Daily Word, we have a strong idea of, you know, how we want to get to where we want to go. But the breaking open comes to show us that it's time to let go. And of course, it's always a choice. But sometimes it doesn't always feel like a choice. Life can become chaotic, and the tarot card of the tower, it can bring a lot of uncertainty and uncomfortability when it feels like the rug from underneath you has been pulled out. Your lens of perception that you have grown accustomed to experiencing reality to is taken away, and you are left in the middle of the pond with nothing to hold on to. And what this calls for is radical trust. So in this time, letting go of the ropes that are keeping us tethered to the harbor, it makes the energy of the Tower card and of this breaking open so much more smooth. What came to me recently as well, because I've been feeling so much breaking open in my personal life and mass consciousness, I mean, over the past year and a half, over the past few months, the past couple weeks, it's been this process, ongoing process of breaking open. But my intuition told me that the breaking open is only as intense as your attachments. The stronger your attachments to the reality that you've created, the stronger the breaking open needs to be to shake all that free so we can get a good reset and we can begin to allow. It's a active passivity, being actively passive. Allowance is a choice. So the choice then to me has lately been embodied in that word Timshel. I love that Terry picked the song Love Is My Decision. Because yes, the world can be shaking you up, you know, like a little snow globe. It's shaking all of the things we've pushed down, all that silt at the bottom. That's why COVID was very beneficial. Oops, I said it. On not a physical level, but on an emotional level, because it shook everything up. And all these things we've been pushing down, it brought it to the surface and allowed us to really resettle and reset. But this is now, we have the choice. So the word Timshel, some of you have probably read East of Eden. It's one of Steinbeck's most acclaimed books. Some say it's his best book. So I really, really love this word. So I've never read out of the Bible out loud, so we'll see if these words even come out right.
They're spelled really weird. So what this talks about, Genesis 4:7, the King James Version. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So this is the passage that it references, and now in East of Eden it says, Lee's hands shook as he filled the delicate cups. He drank his down in one gulp. Don't you see, he cried, the American Standard Translation orders men to triumph over sin, and you can call sin ignorance. The King James Translation makes a promise in thou shalt, meaning that men will surely triumph over sin. But the Hebrew word, timshel, thou mayest, that gives a choice. It might be the most important word in the world. That says the way is open. That throws it right back onto man. For as thou mayest, it is also true that thou mayest not. So in this book, this was a very powerful passage in the book. I have not read the book, let me just say that. But a friend of mine, he just finished the book recently, and it was so powerful in his life and brought forth so many synchronicities and growth within him that I really wanted to learn what the book was about. So this week I read the synopsis, and what really stuck out was that word timshel, and that's what a lot of people are left remembering about that book as well from what I read, because I think it might have been the last word in the book. But what they are talking about is in this passage, they want to find the truest translation of that word timshel. And originally it is in Hebrew. So they go and these Chinese philosophers, they're, you know, translating the Hebrew, trying to get the truest translation of the word. And what they come to find is that it's been translated in so many different ways, more in like directions, orders, we must. But in the original translation, it is allowing you to make the choice. It is throwing the choice back onto man, because that is embodying the beauty of what it is to be human. We have free will. So the beauty is in the growing and the learning from each experience, having the will to try again and again and again, and each time with more love. We don't have to live in a state of victimhood. A lot of us feel a lot of pressure about releasing these grievances or this guilt. But at the end of the day, no one's telling you to, other than your happiness, your freedom, the moment. It's blocking you from allowing all the good that is in the moment. So that's when the Tower card becomes beneficial, is it helps shake loose all of those illusions that maybe we're holding pretty strong on. Because, yes, we have free will and we have the choice to build our towers wherever we like, wherever we want, however we want. But at the end of the day, what is built on illusion is built on as stable a ground as the sea, as permanent a ground as the impermanence of the world around us. I wrote this down somewhere. Notes don't really work for me because I just like to talk what's coming in my mind, but I did write this down because I love this in the Course in Miracles. It says, what can correct illusion but the truth? And what are errors but illusions that remain unrecognizable for what they are? Where truth has entered, errors disappear. They merely vanish, leaving not a trace by which to be remembered. They are gone because without belief, they have no life. And so they disappear into nothingness, returning whence they came. From dust to dust, they come and go, for only truth remains. That line, from dust to dust, they come and go, for only truth remains. That line has stuck with me for quite a while. It's even weaseled its way into a song of mine that I've written. A lot of little Course in Miracles lines have, because they're very simple but powerful. And that's the idea of the tower, this regeneration, this breaking down, this breaking open, is that once the dust settles and the rubble clears, underneath that is purity. You know, that has never really left. I like all these little tools, and I pulled a couple oracle cards to kind of, you know, just guide the essence of this talk. And of course, it just reiterated what I was already thinking. But the two cards that came out were purity and standstill. So purity, the card was a snow white wolf on this snowy landscape. And it was depicting the idea, the embodiment, the feeling of the purity of a snowy landscape, the softness, the peacefulness, soft edges, the quiet, the peace, no matter how rugged a landscape, it can always be softened by the purity of the snow. So it's that pureness that lies beneath the rubble at all times. And the standstill, represented by a landscape of a boggy marshland, which in nature has its benefits and necessities, as it all does in the cycles of everything, but it's a safe haven for a lot of nature in these boggy marshlands. But trying to walk through a boggy marshland, there's a lot of mud. And when you're walking through this sinking mud, if you start to sink, how do you get out? You don't start freaking out and flailing and grabbing for the mud and the grass. You're going to start sinking deeper and deeper. It takes slow, deliberate, conscious steps. Light steps. The key word is conscious. Maybe we've been making a lot of decisions. We get into a pretty quick momentum as we're building our towers, and maybe sometimes forget to be present with all of the decisions we're making. Because at the end of the day, with each moment, we are making a decision. But what decision is that? Us unitics also like to talk about there are only two choices. I used to hear this as a kid because a lot of you guys, this might be weird for you because you might remember me being this tall here. It's kind of weird for me actually to stand up here and be giving what I have received my entire life. I've been sitting in those pews thousands of times as a kid. So I'm just here reflecting back to you some of the things that I have absorbed along the way. But anyways, I remember hearing this so many times is that there's only at the end of the day two choices, love and fear. And I didn't really understand it as a kid. I, you know, put it away somewhere. But as I got older and started to contemplate the things that would bugger me up and the people around me, the deeper and deeper and deeper you go, at the root of it, there are only two decisions, fear and love. And if we're choosing love, it is a radical trust that comes. Because if we are choosing fear, we don't want to let go. We don't want to let go of the things that we have became to identify with, who we think we are, who we believe we are. And when that starts to crumble away, it can feel chaotic and it can feel... I mean, think about this past year and a half. From an outside perspective, I really do see the benefit of everything that has happened, but it can be really hard when you're in the root of it. Because think about when the whole COVID situation started happening. We had our lives, we had how we believed things should be going and, you know, our identities. And when things start to stop, it can become really uncomfortable. And when they start to slow down. But the beauty in slowing down is it gives us this chance to reevaluate. We were gifted a clean slate. Maybe you were in a job that you kind of have been moving through and ignoring all the red flags. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. COVID comes. Looks like you got to stop working. And on one level, you can be stuck in the fear of it. Oh no, I'm not going to have enough money, this or that, this or that. Or you can choose the other decision of love, allowance. You can feel the discomfort. You can feel the anger, the fear, but you don't have to believe it. You don't have to identify with it. In no way am I suggesting that you ignore these feelings and that you look away from them, because that's something that I've learned as well. I thought that just by looking over here at the love that all this would just go away if I just keep pushing it down. But that's the silt that I talk about. So when we get shaken up, it's all those things that you thought you forgot about, that you thought you let go, that you thought you turned away from. But if they weren't truly felt and released, they're still down there somewhere. So when we get shaken up, like a little snow globe, that stuff comes up and out. And we can release all that silt by just feeling it and being in it. So that is much different than identifying with it, attaching to it, using those fear, that past, to become who we are now. If you can just be with it and allow it to come up and out, you will recenter, you will. That's where standstill comes in. So once your tower crumbles, do you immediately start building a new tower in the same place, the same way that your past tower just crumbled? You could. But you're going to probably get very similar results. So there's a period of passive, active passivity. There's so many paradoxes when you get to the root of anything in the universe, duality. active passivity. So the choice to allow, the choice to just be, it is a choice not to go, 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 go. And when I'm talking to you, I'm talking directly to myself. These are all the things that I have been working through lately, because I'm a very driven, ambitious person, and sometimes that can blindside me, and maybe I get too attached to the way I want things to come about. It's almost like I get this idea in my head that I know how to do it better than nature. I laughed about that the other day, because I was, you know, I wanted something to happen the way I want it to in my timeline. And when I stepped back and observed my thought processes and how I was dealing with the situation, it made me laugh. Because how can you force nature to go on your timeline? How can you expect you know better than the all-knowing power of the universe? It's all happening so gently and lovingly, just all in the timing that it shall. You can't force a flower to blossom. I always love the metaphor of a butterfly in a cocoon. If you break that cocoon open before it breaks out itself, before it is properly ready, it will die. So you can't rush your healing. You can't rush the healing of others. But you can make the choice to allow and to let go of all the ropes. I was talking to a friend's dad recently, and I love metaphors, symbology, it really helps me. But he had this really good metaphor of a boat and a rope. Some things that you want to create and experience, sometimes they need a little coaxing. With the rope, you're pulling your boat along, but after a little while, they gain so much momentum, and they start to want to experience life on their own. They want to experience and go off an adventure, and they start to pick up so much momentum, it's moving a little quicker than you, and you can either let go, just let go, or you can slowly let go, and the slower you let go, and the more begrudgingly you let go, the more rope burn you're going to get all over your hands, and it's going to hurt more and more and more. It's kind of like breaking open. The tighter holds you have, the stronger the breaking open is going to feel like, because your attachments, your grasp is so tight. So to avoid rope burn, what do? We let go. We just let go. Don't think about it. Just let go. I'm talking to myself. Just let go, Savannah. Because once you let go, you are able to drift away from the harbor, if that's where your soul is calling, or maybe you stay in the harbor. But wherever you're drifting, you're allowing the winds of the universe to guide you rather than guiding yourself where you think you should be. There's a difference between knowing and knowing where you should be. So lately it's been my standstill period. I realized I built all these towers and they started just crumbling. And I am not one to just be. I need to do. So I've been really working on just being and seeing where my boat drifts and not, you know, not manipulating the waters and paddling around where I want to go over there. If I'm meant to go over there, if that's what's pulling me, the tides will take me there. And you'll know when it's time to start building, if it's ever time to start building again. And when it is, partner with spirit. Listen to your body. That's what I've been really trying to do lately as I start to take on things again. When I'm faced with an opportunity, should I do this or should I not do this? I ask myself and I feel it in my body. Oftentimes, if I'm faced with something that my higher self and my body really doesn't want to do, I feel it in my stomach. My stomach goes, ooh, tightens up a little bit. If it's something that is right and in alignment with who I am becoming and who I want to be and my true self, it feels peaceful. I feel it in my heart. It's a softening. It's a warming. So really getting to know your body and your inner guidance. The universe, God, it speaks to you through the subtleties. You have an inner compass. So when I say if you're not feeling good about something, listen to that, because that's your inner compass telling you that maybe it's time to let go and move in another direction, or not even move in a direction, just let go. That's the choice that you have to make at this moment. So then that brings me to chemicalization. Chemicalization is a term that has stuck with me. There was a woman who spoke here years ago, and she brought up this word, and I had never heard of it before. But it really stuck with me because as we go through these breaking open processes and cycles, it's a continuation of, you know, we break open, we recenter. We break open, we recenter. And in this standstill period, as we start to build again, as we start to take on new beliefs of higher vibration, more positive beliefs, that can rustle some feathers of the already present beliefs that you have in your perceptional lens. I'll read you what Charles Fillmore says. So in his book, The Revealing Word, he says, he calls chemicalization a condition of the mind that is brought about by the conflict that takes place when a high spiritual condition contacts an old error state of consciousness. Whenever a new spiritual idea is introduced into the mind, some negative belief is disturbed. It resists. With this resistance comes more or less commotion in the consciousness. This is called chemicalization. So what this represents to me is sometimes I might feel like I wake up one day and a whole new page is turned and I have a whole new outlook on life and I'm feeling good and I can't believe I felt that way yesterday. Oh my gosh, I've, you know, changed my belief system and I'm back at it. And then a few days go by and boom, it comes up again. And I think, and crap, I thought I let go of this old belief system. And you might have. But it still needs to be fully released. There could be some residual silt left behind from this old belief system. And it's okay to feel that way. Like I said, it's okay to feel these things as long as you're not identifying and attaching and believing the old way you used to think. There's nothing wrong with it. It served you, you know, a great purpose at that time. But now calls for something new, something greater, something higher, something more in alignment with who you are. And what do we know about light and dark? Dark is only the absence of light. So when you have two belief systems, one embodying more light than the other, it is impossible for both to exist forever together. If you stay present in that light and you just keep showing up in that light, you keep making the choice, making the decision, thou mayest or thou mayest not, your choice, but if you keep showing up into that light, the darkness has no choice but to be absorbed into the all that is, returned back into the earth, like the Course in Miracles said, back into the nothingness from whence it came. Because these beliefs, these illusions, they only exist because we're giving life to them through our beliefs, through the attachments we have in our minds. I love, Eckhart Tolle talks a lot about disidentifying with, you know, who we say we are with our job. I am this. I am Savannah. I do this. I am this. So when these big times come, when the tower starts to shake, your identity is shaken because you've been identifying with this outer shell. I also really love Eckhart Tolle says, I mean, he really connects with me because he's so simply peaceful. It's a really deep, peaceful power that he exudes. And it just, for some reason, it just hits me in a place where I get it. And he talks a lot about how people can only act outside of, they can only act out of their current state of consciousness. No one, no being can live and express outside of their current state of consciousness. So that, to me, has always helped aid me in the forgiveness factor of letting go. Because that's all letting go is, forgiving yourself and forgiving all the people around you. It's letting go of those grievances, that guilt. Because what is guilt and grievances? If they're still in your energetic body, there is a level, on some level, you believe that you deserve it, that they deserve it. And is that true? It's never true. Because like we've talked about, no matter how deeply rooted in ignorance your beliefs might have slipped away to be, underneath all of that rubble, your purity still lies. You are never lost from redemption, from, you know, and it's not like I am redeeming you, says God. You are redeeming yourself by letting go of all these things that you've held on to. So in a lot of ways, this shows up in our own lives. We're judging ourselves. You know, we should have done this. We should have been this. I can't believe I did this to other people. Or I can't believe they did this to me. They should have done this. It's that word should. Because is that what happened? No. What happened is what happened. And we can let it go. And we can forgive them and love them, perhaps. Because when they are acting, whoever they is, if they is you, they're acting outside of their current state of consciousness, and they are doing the best they can. And it can seem like these actions are, you know, they're harming you, they're hurting you, they're hurting your sense of self, who you've identified with. It's coming up against that. But they're just doing the best they can. Like Jesus says, forgive them. They know not what they've done. If they did, if they had the same mindset as you have right now, those actions would be impossible. But at the end of the day, they don't, because we are all these little unique puzzle pieces of one big puzzle, and we cannot complete the puzzle when we shun puzzles over here. You stay over there, peace. You're going in timeout. You can't complete the puzzle. But if you allow all these feelings to be within you and don't believe them, at the heart of all of these emotions and all of these things swirling around you is peace, is purity. But sometimes to uncover that purity, it takes a standstill. It takes a rest. There's also a strong belief that we need money. Money, it seems to rule over a lot of us, because it's like, I'm unhappy doing this, but I need the money. Do you need the money? Because that is without radical trust. You are then believing that you are in charge of bringing money to you, and that you are in charge of the universal flow of prosperity. Then again, you are believing, maybe not consciously, I'm talking to myself again, that you are smarter than nature. That you must do this in order for you to be okay. You need this amount of money to be okay. I like to take a thought and put it all the way towards the end. Okay, let's say I quit my job. I now don't have any money coming in, but I'm not doing what I hated. Okay, fast forward. What's the worst that could happen? Maybe you're sitting on the street. But are you happy? Maybe you get just the amount of money that you needed from a friend. Or someone says, hey, can I buy that from you? And it's just what you needed. You can't even put words to all the beautiful opportunities that come when you embody radical trust and allow. Because by you staying somewhere where your inner guidance is telling you, no, 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 I don't want to be here, you're blocking all of those beautiful opportunities. When you can let go of your ropes and start to float into the middle of the pond and allow these opportunities to come to you, you have made space for the universe to take care of you, for you to be in this universal flow. Do you think the birds worry about not having enough money? Do you think the flowers are all stressed about not having enough money? And I know, I talk from a very broad perspective as well, because in reality, we do have these needs as humans. But this is more about a mindset rather than something completely physical. Because yes, some of us have things we need to take care of, like children. You know, I can so easily say this because I don't have a family I'm supporting. But if you can't physically make those changes, that's okay. But you can make those changes within yourself, within your mind, within your consciousness, and they will start to reflect in your outer world. So it's just making those choices of radical trust, radical allowance. And when you are feeling not so good, think of, well, how can I feel better? What am I grateful for? Where are the areas in my life that I am thriving or that make my soul light on fire? Because life should not be an act of survival. We should be thriving, not just surviving. Life is amazing and it is beautiful, and we are blessed with so many infinite opportunities in each moment to make the choice. Timshel, thou mayest or thou mayest not. It is completely up to you, and neither road is right or wrong. You can choose the road and keep being deeply unhappy, and there is no judgment. There is only love. You're only acting outside of where you're at right now. You're doing the best that you can, or You can choose to embody all that you've ever hoped and dreamed of, and it can be overwhelming because maybe your life is so much not how you want to be living that it can be extremely overwhelming. How do you bring in this new life? How do you build this beautiful tower that you see in your mind's eye? I like how Kevin always used to say, we would, when we're talking band stuff, Kevin and I, if you didn't know, we're in a band together for like 6 years. And I'm like, how are we going to do this? Oh, it's so much. He goes, well, how does a mouse eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that always stuck with me because I get overwhelmed by the bigness of things that I want to take on. Because as you can tell, I am fiery. I am blessed by being extremely sensitive, but it's a double-edged sword. I am unable to do things that make me unhappy because, oh, I'm just unable to. I just cannot do it. And I'm very happy, but it creates, my inner compass is so loud. But I take on these things that I know are for my highest good and those around me. But sometimes when they come about, it's like, I don't know how to make these happen. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I start to spiral and then I stop. I just take one step at a time. One little step. And that is chemicalization. We round back to that, is when you're integrating this new way of being, this new vision you have for yourself, and a letting go of the other one, you're not going to stay all the time in that vision. It's going to be you're going to have to keep coming back to it. You're going to be pulled back to your old way of being. But as you choose, Tim Shell, to come back to the place of light, to the vision that you truly, your highest vision for yourself. If you can keep returning to that, that time is quicker. It's a quicker and quicker turnaround time until your old perception of what you want, who you are, has dissolved into the nothingness from whence it came. And soon, all you can see around you then is the manifestation of the vision that you wanted for yourself. And it doesn't have to be specific. I encourage you in the standstill time, after our lives have been shaken up, while they're being shaken up, while we're being broken open, to think about the life that you want to embody as you start to build your tower again. And it doesn't have to be specific. I mean, I encourage the least specificity because I can get really specific, and I recognize in my own life, the more specific I am, the more painful the breaking open is when life shows me, I have something much better in store for you. And I'm like, but I wanted this, you know? And you're holding on to that vision. But if I was more specific in the feelings I wanted to embody in my life rather than the specific way that that's coming about, I can be in a place of more radical trust and allowance, knowing that those feelings are coming to me. And they can show up in all of these beautiful different ways that I never would have expected. When I let go of what I think I want, it's so funny how I get what I want tenfold. But it's that letting go. I feel like I go through a grieving process every time I let go of one of these attachments. Like the full grief cycle. It is dramatic. But it feels so good once I have finally let go and these old ways have in a way died to me. You know, it's just like a flower dying, releasing its seed to birth even more flowers. So I let go of these beliefs and I allow, and life becomes so much more beautiful and amazing than I could have really ever expected. So wrapping this up, like I said, I can just talk and talk and talk and talk. I wrote all these notes, but have I looked at them? No. I have so many words in my head all the time. So I do appreciate the platform to share all my words, because usually this is just in conversation. Like Terry and I oftentimes have such beautiful conversations, a lot of things around this. Recently, actually, my friend Amanda said, we were sitting on my boat under the full moon, and she said, what do you want to let go of this full moon? And I looked at her and I said, everything. She goes, whoa. Yeah, I want to let go of everything, because I only want the things in my life that are meant to be there. And if you let go and they're still there, they were meant to be there. They were built on love and with, you know, in accordance to who you truly are. And I want to let go of everything to see what it is that is really meant to be back in my life. That is going to float to me that is carried along on the tides. So as our towers burn, are you going to rush inside and save what you can? Save the silverware, save your chairs. There's a spiritual teacher who I used to watch a lot called Teal Swan. And I always loved when she talked about this sort of thing with letting go and the, you know, if your house is burning, she said, you know, you're not going to rush inside and start to, you know, save your favorite momentum and lose yourself in the process. Just pull up a chair, put on your sunglasses, and watch it burn. Because there is a blessing in the burning. There is a blessing in the breaking open. You are gifted a clean slate to reevaluate who you are, who you want to be at the root of it all. It's that number 7, knowing thyself underneath all of the attachments. It's that deeper wisdom, that deeper knowing. So put on your sunglasses, watch your tower burn, watch the bees and the birds and the flowers blowing in the breeze. You know, in each moment, there are always things to observe. Once we take off that lens of perception that we've created, it's amazing how beautiful each moment can be when we are not blinded by our ambition. So allow yourself to drift where the winds guide you. Allow your time and space to reset, recover, and recoup. Then, when the time is right, you can consciously and lovingly start building again, but not before partnering with spirit and recognizing with each decision if it is for your highest good and the highest good of those around you. So I'll end you on a little quote that I really liked somewhere in here. Where is it? Ooh, Adrienne Marie Brown says, "Things are not getting worse. They're getting uncovered. We must hold each other tight and continue to pull back the veil." Thanks for letting me talk to you today. I hope you took something out of that, whatever resonated. Now I shall sing for you.
Oh, Savannah. Thank you so much, Savannah. I wish you could have been here to feel the energy. She was just bubbly, as she always is. And I love that she told that story about the fire, putting on your sunglasses, because I think about what we've all been through during this pandemic time. Think about your own experience through this last year and a half. What have you given up willingly, but what have you been forced to give up? And those are not necessarily the same thing. And how did you feel about it? And how has your life improved? Kevin and I were talking about that before he left. You know, we knew full well that when this church opens, some of our regular members may have moved on. They may not be back to come back here physically. We did not expect that Kevin would leave. Surprise. So, you know, that was a change that happened to us during this time. And that idea of that fire, I think about this a lot because I had a girlfriend back in the day whose house burned down and she lost everything. Talk about that burning tower and losing it all. And she was really bereft when it happened. And years later, she said, "It was the best thing that could have happened to me." And she said those exact things, how it allowed her to reframe herself, to remake herself. They made a different house in a different location that fit her, filled it with things that were who she is now. So I just like to remind you of that, that during this time of breaking down and building up, we will find our way. We'll find our way individually and we'll find our way together. So let's have Savannah sing another song for us now.